Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I love the nation I live in, but to be honest, I just love Africa. And I don't know why, but I think my color's wrong, but my shape is right. Am I right? Hallelujah. Oh, he truly fashioned me for this continent, didn't he, right? Amen, amen. Well, I was thinking about just the honor that it is to stand here. I know my husband and I, we pastor a church, and it's with great weight of responsibility and wanting to get it right and do it right. And of course, we honor the invitation of Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley to stand in this pulpit. They're the custodians of this area of the church. But more than anything, I want to please my Father. I want to give what He wants you to have today, straight from the throne of God into His holy dwelling place, and flowing pure and sparkling clean streams of life and strength and healing and wellness and peace that surpasses all understanding. That's my desire today. But I do honor Pastor Haley and Pastor Walker. I'm just so thankful that for their friendship, thankful for their mentorship and leadership. They lead us in our capacity at Rhema, and we're just so thankful. They do such an excellent job with that, and we are honored. Honestly, I think I live on the best continent. Amen. I don't wish I lived anywhere else in the world. Of course, I miss my family and I enjoy, you know, friendships in America. But I've lived in Francistown for 32 years and I've been in Africa for 35. My husband and I are coming up on our 35th anniversary this year, and our first anniversary was in Sorowe, Botswana. Amen. And I also just wanted to take a moment and acknowledge the women that I'm speaking with. I am just blown away and so thankful for the role that you play in this continent. And the things that they were able to say, it had to come from them. And I'm just so thankful for your boldness. And I'm really honored to sit right here in the front row with you. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I just want to appreciate also Miracle Life. I'm sure Pastor Haley will appreciate you, but this is excellent, like in overdrive. This conference and the organization that has gone on before this, I want to say thank you to the Miracle Life team for all that you've done to make us so comfortable and every one of us feeling welcome, feeling special, feeling seen, feeling anticipated and expected. Isn't that amazing? Let's just honor them and thank them for their role. And my ladies, Light of the World Church ladies, will you all just stand up? I want to see you. I haven't been able to hardly see you here yet. Where are we? There we go. There's some. Hallelujah. And then Ndola. Where is Ndola? Are you here, Pastor? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. All right. Light of the World Church, we do have a branch in Ndola, Zambia. Hallelujah. So if you've got any friends or family there, you can get in touch with us, and we'll help you find a good church in Ndola. Also, my friend Dawn Close, I can't say, I've actually known her longer than I've known Haley. I was a baby when I came to Africa. No, I wasn't. I was fully adult, because that's 18 and up, right? Okay, but I had a lot of growing up to do still. But Dawn, just stand up, Dawn. This is my dear, dear friend. So when we were first missionaries, my husband, before we were even married, okay, we're talking about sexual purity, and if you want to keep your relationship pure while you're anticipating the whole marriage thing, then you just send one of them across the other side of the world, you'll be fine. So that's what we did. My now husband, we were engaged, he went and served with Dawn. They were working in Zimbabwe, South Africa, and served with them for some time, for 5 months, came back, And my husband said, well, I really liked Africa. And I said, yeah, I can see that you... Okay, let me preface here. No email, no WhatsApp, no Facebook. We did snail mail all the way across. So communication was few and far between. And so by the time he got back, I was so eager to know, you know, I'm wearing an engagement ring, and I wanted to know what exactly did I say yes to? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? What's God leading you to do? And God had spoken to his heart to come back and serve as full-time missionaries in Africa. So he broke it to me gently. He said, well, I really liked Africa. And I said, yeah. He said, I'd really like to go back there sometime. And I said, yeah, I'd like to go with you. I'd like to go to Africa. And he said, took a deep breath. I'd like to go live and serve full time as missionaries in Botswana, in Africa. And I said, let's go. Let's get ready. Let's go. And our first anniversary was here in Africa, and we've been here ever since. And so we've really built our life here. Of course, we have our family in America, but my children grew up with the aunties and uncles and cousins and, you know, our church family right here in Africa. God has been so faithful to provide so well for us in every area of our lives, even in the form of family relationships. So we really do appreciate where we live. And I want to just tell a story. I was thinking about just appreciating my husband and his leadership and where he's, how he encouraged me to even be able to stand here and to speak. So when I was in high school, you know, you can, when you get, you know, you can start choosing some of the classes you're going to take as you get higher. And I chose to take a speech class. And my speech teacher thought I could do a good job speaking. And so she put me on the speech team, and she said, help me develop my speech. I practiced in front of her, and we went to a speech competition, and there were about this many people, maybe between 5 and 10 people were in the room where the speech competition was going to take place. And so I stood up to give my speech in a competition setting. And I stood there. And all that happened was hot tears started running down my face. I didn't actually cry, but I just stood there. And look what God can do, right? Amen. And you know, but I really do want to appreciate my husband as well, and just for giving me opportunities and letting me grow and letting me learn and not holding me back. That's just a gift, isn't it? Amen, amen. So I've lived here for 35 years. My husband and I went to Rhema. That's actually where we met. Hallelujah. Pastor Hagen said, turn around and greet the people around you. And my husband didn't greet anybody else. Only me. I was the only one. Amen. So we are so privileged to lead Light of the World Church in Botswana. And then we've got three Light of the World Churches in Botswana and the one in Ndola as well. And then we have an academy for children. And then we also do lead Rhema Botswana, which we're so honored. I appreciate my American heritage. But you know, I'm really blessed. I'm really honored to get two. I get to claim two countries as my own. So America and Botswana. So that's a little bit what I want to talk to you about this morning. But before I go there, I brought a few things that I thought would be fun for you and a blessing. And they'll actually, I put this together specifically designed for you to be able to have reminders at home of what I'm going to share with you about. I don't know if we have the slides of the packets. Okay, yeah, let's have a look at those. So I've got, this is actually what they look like. So we have, I'm going to talk to you about three kind of different arenas of our life that we need to cultivate an awareness of the presence of God and that there is another realm besides just what we see and hear and feel, okay? So these packets are designed just to kind of help you. So In the, I called it the grow packet. So when you're learning, when you're spending time with God, that can actually become like mechanical, right? Have any of you ever read your Bible mechanically? I've done that and it's dry as toast, right? And so we don't want that. We have to read our Bibles and spend time with Him. I mean, I read my Bible to know Him. I don't read my Bible to know my Bible. I read my Bible to discover God and His goodness, what He says to me. So this packet, and the special thing about this packet is I included in here my own devotional. Like I have like this little paper, it's digital, and every single day I write down what passages I'm reading, and it kind of is my little, it, what helps me remember I'm actually communicating with God here in this time. So there's a template in here as well, but those things are there. And then we can go to the second one. Then I've got a second packet, and then this one is called the Give Packet. So this is like when you're out and about, like you, there's like one of those little silicone bracelets in there. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's with me. I'm in two realms at once right now, okay? So these are all just, and then there's a lip balm, there's a keychain, there's a, one of those, a little backpack thing in there. And then the third packet, I called it the Restore Packet, and it's probably the one most of you are going to want. But it's got a hand cream, a little candle. It's got a bath bomb. Actually, it's not a bath bomb. It's a shower steamer. Have you ever used one of those? They're amazing. So you just put it on the floor in your shower, and it just makes your shower smell just like you want to take a deep breath and relax. And then there's a little cosmetic bag in there. So all of those things are things that actually remind me, like I look at it and I think, oh yeah, the fragrance. I am the fragrance of God Himself going into the earth, right? So all of these things are just small reminders, and there is a document inside each one of the packets that will just kind of help you know what I was thinking about when I put each one of those things in there. So those are available, and it comes in a little packet like that. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it does a good job reminding you of the things that we're going to look at and learn about today. So if I was going to say my whole sermon in one sentence, I would say this. I would say that your best days on earth are those that you live with an acute awareness of the presence of God and His kingdom realm, right? Because from that place, any storm, you know what I love? There is no chaos in the kingdom of God. Your earthly life, your marriage, your kids, your family, your finances, even your sex life might be absolute chaos right now. But you know what? There is no chaos in the kingdom of God. And we have a choice. And the thing is, God designed us. This being, you see this right here? God put me together, you knit me together in my mother's womb, and He created us wonderfully to exist in two realms at the same time. Did you ever think about that? Like right now, you know what you're doing? You're sitting in this auditorium, in this women's conference, but do you know what else? You are risen together with Him. You are also seated in heavenly places in Christ. And that's not just a word picture. That's the truth of that realm. So when that realm and that awareness of risen together with Him, seated with Him in heavenly places, when that realm and that awareness is acute, there can be all kinds of chaos going on. Just like our sisters shared, you know how Sarah was some really rough living conditions as a young girl. And then, you know, her husband and the chaos and the thoughts that want to bombard. And then Pastor Haley sharing about the cancer and the so many earthly things. And I love, you know, what Pastor Haley was talking about with feelings. Those feelings are valid. It's, we don't suppress them. We don't say, go away, feelings. God designed us to have feelings. Those feelings are simply indicators of what's going on. That's it. They're not directives. They don't lead us, but they're indicators. It's kind of like the fuel gauge on your car, right? When it starts getting down toward F, I don't know, I heard of someone that put duct tape over there. Like there was like a check engine light or a, I don't know, some light. I'm like, okay, that doesn't fix it, right? Don't put duct tape over it. Go ahead and do something about it. When your feelings are hurt, when you've got some emotional things going on, there's an appropriate place to go talk. Number one is always the throne room. Number one is always into the presence of God. Just like when the next doctor visit was coming and there was another report with her husband, where did they go? I'm sure there were some feelings going on, right? But where did they go first? Where did she go? Right to the throne of God. And we need to do the same. So the feelings were indicators that there's something going on. But those feelings are for my soul realm. That's what it's an indicator for. That's it. Like your five senses, like you learn in preschool, you know to take your hand away from a hot stove because you've got the sense of touch, right? And for your soul realm, when something doesn't feel right or doesn't feel good, your feelings, it's an indicator that you need to just dig a little deeper, see what's going on, and then bring it to God. Amen? All right, so let's go on here. I'm going to talk about three different things during our time together here. The first one, and it's really the title of my message, and that is that we are working remotely. How many of you have had to do some remote work? Crazy, right? Kind of, we were doing it a little bit before 2020 and 2021, but wow, full force, you know, schooling and working and all kinds of stuff. Working remotely, but it's really actually a good picture of what we're doing and the mindset we should have. Our headquarters is not here. Did you know that your job is a tool? Your job is not supreme over your kingdom identity and your kingdom, who you are in Christ. Your job is a tool to bring finances into your kingdom. Your job is a tool to give you exposure to men and women that wouldn't otherwise come in contact with God, right? So we need to stop skipping church and stop putting our job above our kingdom responsibilities, right? Can I touch on another thing here? I know, like, we want to love our loved ones that have lost someone, but I sometimes want to ask, what is all of the funeral attendance? What is it costing the kingdom of God? Your absence at church, your absence at your responsibilities with your kingdom responsibilities. I'm not saying we shouldn't go, because funerals are a way for us to demonstrate the love of God to our families, right? But, whew, it can get overwhelming. Does it get overwhelming sometimes here too? I think in Botswana it does. We can end up and feeling so obligated and so like it's more. Did you ever think to stop and ask, God, is this a funeral that I should attend? I'm serious, right? Because what we're talking about is kingdom culture versus Zambia, Botswana, South Africa, Namibia, culture, right? So what are we going to do? We're going to adapt ourselves and remember, I'm working remotely. My headquarters are there. That's where I get my orders from, okay? My Zambia culture, my Botswana culture, my African culture says we always go to all funerals that are even remotely within arm's length of a relationship to me, right? That's culture. But what if in that area we allowed God's culture to take precedence and let him guide you as to which funerals you attend and which funerals you don't attend? I know there will be some family fallout, but wow, our orders are from him, aren't they? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. This is going to be, we're actually going to go through Romans chapter 12 a few times. This is my main scripture that I want us to look at during this teaching time. And we're going to look from Romans 12. Let me just tell you ahead of time. We're going to talk about working remotely, and then we're going to talk about an awareness of two different realms. And then at the end, we're going to talk a little bit more about your best days, okay? So remember I told you, like, I could say my whole sermon in one. I could just sit down. But I want to get to the how as well. And I feel like this message that I have is going to help you. You might want to have your pink papers ready, okay? Because I'm going to give you some really practical, how do I do this? What the messages that we've heard about feelings, and the messages we've heard about trusting God, and the message that we heard about our principles and our priorities, I'm going to give you some, how do I actually do this? Where am I going to go with, like, boots on the ground, when I get home, when I look and I see the, I don't know what your house is going to look like, but maybe you're going to have a sink full of dishes when you get home. Maybe you're going to have laundry piled up all over the place. I don't know what chaos you're going to go into, but these, what I'm going to give you today, what we're going to talk about is going to help you know, how do I walk into an earthly chaotic situation, an earthly traumatic situation, and then lift my eyes and fix my eyes on Him. I fix my eyes on the realm that I can't see, all right? So let's read Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. And that's the one we're going to use throughout today. Romans 12, verse 1. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your, and I'm going to put in there earthly, that's my own word. Don't become so well adjusted to your earthly culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. Actually, we could say fix your attention on the realm that you can't see, right? Fix your attention on God. Fix your attention on His kingdom. Fix your attention on His way of doing things. How does God do relationships between men and women? Are you fixing your eyes on that? You know, the thing is, you move in the direction that your eyes are going, right? So how many of you, you've got your driver's license, and that was one of the things they told you, they taught you, right? You look straight ahead when you're driving. Have you ever been driving, and there's something distracting, something going on here, and you look, and what happens to the car? Whoops, right? You start going in that direction. So why is Paul in the book of Romans, why is he telling us, fix your eyes on God? Why? Because when you fix your eyes on God, you're going to go in that direction. But when you fix your eyes on social media, you fix your eyes on the way the world is choosing to do things right now, if you fix your eyes on your earthly culture without observing God's culture, you're going to move in that direction. So we want to go in the direction that God has, right? We want to remember, I'm in this world, but I am not of this world. I am in this world to do a job. I am in this world, James calls it, for a vapor. Our life is, and it's gone. And I've got that amount of time to make a difference for eternity. And you know what? I'm equipped to do it. He equipped me to live right here, right now. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you are so beautifully equipped. And then look at your neighbor, your other neighbor, and say, I can do this. Amen. We were born right now. God chose you to live right now. Don't loathe the tribulation that's happening. Don't loathe all the awful stuff that's going on in the world. I know it's bad. And you know what? I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but it's not going to get any better. It's not. But you know what? We are risen with him. We are seated far above all this junk. And we can choose to live out of that realm right here, right now. Hallelujah. Say it again. I'm equipped. Say, I was chosen by God to live right now. And I love it. Yeah, say that one again. I love it. I love being alive right now. Tribulation doesn't bother me. Chaos doesn't bother me. I was born for this. I was equipped for this. I'm going over. I'm not going under. The economy doesn't determine my wealth. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. And when you go to the grocery store, I hope you do the same thing I do. When I see that there's a product that is like 50% more or even double, it's crazy how quick prices are going up, right? I want you to change your outlook when you go look at price, fuel price, food price, rent prices, whatever kind of thing, school uniforms, school fees. When it goes up, you say, oh, I'm so glad that my source isn't here. We're living from there. That's what it means when Philippians says, my God will supply all of your need. According to what? Zambian economy? No! Is that real or not? Can you live from there? Yes. Ha, hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's finish reading here. Then he says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants you to do and quickly respond to it. Ooh, right? So right there, your pink papers, that's going to help you respond quickly. This weekend, you need to start responding. And I love Pastor Haley's advice. It's fine. It's good for you to go to God with your pink paper and say, okay, I commit. But find a group of friends. Find a group of trusted friends that are moving in the same direction, that are hungry for God like you are. And share your pink papers. Say, hey, this is something I've had a hard time with. And would you help me with this? And you know, when you open up, it paves the way for your friend to open up and be honest with you as well. That's what God wants. He wants us to help one another. Okay, finish up. Romans 12:1 or verse 2. And quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Ooh, we don't want to be immature, do we? So what he's saying here is fixing your eyes on things above, not being moved and concerned so much about the chaos in the world, but keeping your eyes fixed. That's what maturity looks like. Mm-hmm. God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. So in this passage, we've got all three things I want to mention here. Working remotely. We're not in this world. We're not of this world. We're just in it, passing through. And that there is an unseen realm that we have to stay aware of. And you need to consciously do so. So, okay, here's one little thing. Maybe it's silly for you, but I don't really care. There's a little hand cream in one of the packets there. And you know what I think about when I put on hand cream? I literally remember that believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. So hand cream, it's a silly earthly thing that helps us remember the kingdom of God, right? And that there's an unseen realm. And that power to lay hands on the sick, it comes from that realm. I don't muster it up. I don't say, oh, shundai, power. Okay, let's go do it. Hurry up before it fades away. No, it doesn't work like that. It's always there. My awareness and my obedience are the only variables in the power of God, me being able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I heard someone ask a question, why don't we see more people being healed and set free from the power of darkness and the power of sickness and disease that the enemy uses to bind people? Why don't we see more people being set free like that? And here's the question. When is the last time you took your hand and laid it on a sick person? That's why. That's why we're not seeing sick people being raised. We're supposed to be taking these hands, this container of the glory of God, that I go to Him and I get filled up from His realm where He lives. I tap in and I remember there's a realm where God lives and I'm aware of it and I get full. And then I go and I say, in Jesus' name, be well. And the power of God comes straight from His throne through me and into that sick body, and it affects a healing and a cure. And it has nothing to do with my performance. I simply did the action, and God did the performing. Amen? Here was one thing I was thinking of. Okay, let's talk a little about how do I work remotely? How do I remember that? This whole thing is just simply about remembering, right? We want to remember that we're working remotely. How many of you have ever watched, I hope it hasn't happened to you, but have you ever watched any bloopers of like Zoom meetings where someone was sitting like they only had a shirt on and then they had just like boxer shorts or underwear or whatever on the bottom and they didn't realize like the Zoom camera was... You could see everything. All right. So one of the things with working remotely is I want you to remember is that God sees it all anyway. So one of the things to help us remember that we're working remotely is just totally honest and vulnerable with Him. Okay? Even if you have, you're fully clothed, fully dressed, He sees it all. But He tells us to come and ask. He tells us to come to Him. He tells us, bring me your burdens. I'm the one that's able to carry them. But He doesn't take them from you. We bring them to Him, right? You don't even have to blur your background. How many of you ever have blurred your background when you're on a Zoom call? Because it looks a little messy behind you, right? So you don't want anyone to see the chaos behind you in your Zoom call. I've done that. But God sees it all anyway. So we come to Him openly, honestly, vulnerable, okay, to Him. And then the second thing we can do is remember, this comes from, actually, it's a commentary I want to read on 1 Peter 2:11. Just write that down. We're not going to actually read that verse. But it talks about living as a traveler through, okay? So like even your suitcases, did you ever look at your suitcase and say, oh, yeah, that's my earthly life. I'm temporary here. I'm not here forever, right? So we're living as a traveler. I'm going to read an excerpt. This is Rick Renner, one of his sparkling gems. He rephrased 1 Peter 2:11 like this. He said, "Dearly beloved, I sincerely beg and warn you to live as if you are travelers here in this world. Never forget that this is not your real residence." You know what? Your fancy car, if you can't bring people to church in your fancy car, you need to go buy a Hiace, right? If you can't house people, and thank you for those that have housed as guests in your homes, our Botswana guests, they're just raving and saying how well they're being taken care of. That is so godly. But if you have a great big house or a small house, but you can't use it for the kingdom of God, that's a problem, right? It's everything you have is just a tool, right? Your fancy clothes, it's a tool. It's a provision of God. It speaks of the goodness of God. Rick Renner continued here, "You must not become too attached to the environment around you. I urge you to refrain from any carnal or low-level desires that engulf you and thus drag you into a long, protracted, strategic, and aggressive war in your mind." Okay, so, you know, when we try to converge our heavenly existence and our heavenly identity with earth and low things of the earth, that's where things become really complicated, right? We try to just do a little bit of something outside of marriage. Complicated, right? We try to figure out, well, who takes care of whose children and what, because now we've got this baby and that baby, and we've got your baby and my baby and our baby, and who pays for what, and how do we do school fees, and what about the grandparents, and that is so complicated, right? Money is complicated when we try to mix up selfish earthly desires and then try to do a little bit of tithing or a little bit of giving here and there. It's just all His, right? And so when we're living as travelers, when we're living here, just it's so simple, right? Life on earth becomes so much more simple when we just remember that we're part of a realm that we can't see, right? And then the third thing, I wanted to say this. There's two extremes here of living in both realms. So we're talking about an unseen realm that we need to be aware of, and we need to learn how to remember. What am I going to do that's going to help me remember there's something I can't see with these eyes? So one of the things we need to remember is that we don't want to be extreme either way. Have you ever heard the phrase, like, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? Right? Like, I'm just praying all day, every day. Okay, that's not real life. I still have to cook. You know, I still have to wash clothes. I still have to do some normal earthly stuff while I'm still you know what? Washing the dishes is one of my favorite times to just talk to God. Driving my car, especially if I'm alone in my car, that's one of the most glorious places in my life. Early in the morning, that's one of the most beautiful times of my day. Just me and God. But I'm doing normal earthly things, and I'm not weird. I'm not like talking in tongues in the grocery store. Okay? So there's two extremes. You can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, but you can also be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good, right? So there is a balance. God is just so balanced. He's so good. And He makes it so simple for us. It's not complicated. All right. Let's go to the second section here. What is focusing on the unseen? Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Again, back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your earthly culture, I put that word in, earthly, that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. And I want to read another verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. It says, we view, listen to this, especially in light of Kasonde's message just before this, verse 17, we view our slight, short-lived, okay, if your whole life is just, okay, what about the troubles you're in right now, right? It's all about perspective, isn't it? When we look at the troubles we're facing, and I know, I'm not minimizing what you're going through. I'm not saying, it's just nothing. I know it's something. I know it's heavy and it's weighty. But I do know that if you'll face it and look at it from your risen with Him, seated together with Christ position, the perspective changes and it becomes, and only a little part of that, right? Okay. So 1 Corinthians 4:17, our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory beyond all comparison. So what I looked at here is almost like a scale. We've got, Paul uses the word light affliction and weight of glory. How glorious is the victory that we see when we don't give up, right? And what multiplying, when your testimony, when you stand before people and you say, I was healed of cancer. My husband almost died and he's alive and strong and well today. I went through this. I was uneducated. I didn't have a way to earn income and I fixed my eyes on Him. And look at me now. I've got a car. I have an education. I bought a house. I'm sending my kids to school. That's a testimony that goes on and multiplies. That's the weight of glory that Paul's talking about here. The light affliction becomes weighty in the glory of God when we give it to him. And then he continues in verse 18. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at the unseen realm. I want to go to the how here. How do we remember to focus on the unseen? Number one, we're going to ask. Ask him. Have you ever simply, I loved, I think it was Sarah's questions. Why am I here? Those are questions you should ask. Why am I here? You know, there was a time, I told you our first anniversary was in Botswana. We were in Sorowe, Botswana. And we had just done a crusade with, the closes. And they went and we stayed behind. We were doing some, like following up on the new believers, my husband and I. And I really struggled. Like, Dawn was such a blessing and helped me cook, but I was still so new right then. I didn't know how to buy groceries and we were in such a big village. I actually bought custard powder to thicken my stew. I don't know if you ever knew that, Dawn. Did you know that? Okay. It's very embarrassing, but I had no clue what custard powder was. All I saw that it said something about thickening, and I was like, oh, there we go. That'll work with my stew. And it was bad. Okay. I was bad. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know anything. And so I threw myself across on the bed in the house that we were staying in. I was like, God, I don't even know why I'm here. And I was kind of having a pity party. And I really, my view of myself was just a hindrance to Matt. Matt was so on fire, so passionate. He saw fire burning all over, the Holy Ghost flames all over Botswana. But then, you know what my picture was? Like, he's dragging me along saying, come on, honey, let's go. Let's go. You can drive. You can cook. Let's go. You know, and he was patient, of course. But that was my view of myself. So I threw myself on the bed. I don't even know why I'm here. And God spoke to my heart and he said, why are you here? He didn't even answer my question. He made me answer it myself. He said, why are you here? I was like, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. I don't know why I'm here. And he asked me the same question again. He said, why are you here? And I got it. I wasn't here and I wept. Because I saw people, I saw that there would be people brought into my life that would not go to hell for all of eternity because I know I'm here for a purpose. And you know, it changed everything. I didn't miraculously know how to cook. I didn't miraculously know how to drive a stick shift car on the left side of the road. None of that changed. None of my earthly circumstances changed. But you know what changed? My perspective. I started living from the unseen realm and it made the world of difference to what I was doing right here, right now. You can do anything. I heard a story of a pastor that was working out. He was gymming. We like to say gymming here, right? He was gymming. So he'd gone through his whole circuit. And at the end of his circuit, a guy came in that just kind of started talking to him about the things of God. And so this pastor said, I'm not going to miss out. And he did his whole training circuit again. He was tired and he had worked out hard. But he said, you know, my second workout was easier than my first because of the purpose that I was there. I wasn't there just to work out and, you know, do some healthy stuff for my body. There was someone that I was telling about Jesus. His purpose for being there changed. And your purpose being here, you having an understanding of your purpose, and it can be broad, simply that I'm here to tell people about Jesus. But as you go and you start telling people about Jesus, it's going to start getting more specific and you're going to find your niche. You're going to find exactly where you fit and what fits and just looks perfect on you. A local church is the best place to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So we go to him and we ask, why am I here? And then we look at him. Remember, it says, fix your eyes on him. When you look at him, you become like him. Ah, and he's so beautiful. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so in Soroe, as I looked at him and he showed me my purpose, I changed. I didn't become so focused all about me and what I can't do. I started looking at his strength. I started looking at his empowerment. I started looking at his plan for my life. And it changed everything. It's not easy to... How many of you live in a country that you were not born in? Like you've immigrated or you're like on contract or something like that. Anybody else? Right. So it's hard. Like there's a lot of hard adjustments to make. You know, one of them is like as missionaries, we're taught to really observe and be culturally aware and, you know, adapt ourselves to where, you know, the place. So we don't offend people and not compromising our kingdom culture. That's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, to not offend people so you leave the door open for the gospel. Because I know Americans kind of have a reputation of being, we even in mission school, we call it the ugly American. Americans are loud, they stomp in, they're demanding, they want their way, they want their rights. I know that about us, okay? I'm trying not to be like that. Okay? But, so we come in but when we come, there's an adaptation that we have to take, and it's not always reciprocated. Like, so the people around us don't always say, you know, well, okay, you're an American, this, you just expect that we would know culture in Zambia or culture in Botswana. And we're working on it, and we're working hard at it, but what about when you visit my house and you do a Zambian thing or an Africa thing in my house that I think is offensive? I still have to just not say anything, right? Okay, so there's always some effort and there's always some feelings that go along with adapting to a new culture, but we're adapting to the unseen realm, aren't we? I'm not asking God to adapt his perfect and holy high standards. I will never ask him to adapt and put his sanction on my lifestyle that is stepping outside of his culture. I will never do that. I move over and I adapt to him. And of course, it might be uncomfortable. There might be a learning curve, but that's okay. That's a glorious place to live from. As we look at him, we become like him. How do we look at him? Did you ever think about that? Fix your eyes on him. So I'm pretty practical, right? How do we fix our eyes on him? What do we do? Prayer is one way. And I don't mean, okay? Are you really fixing your eyes on God or are you just listening to yourself pray loud? Okay, really? I most of my prayer life isn't loud. Sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short. But my faith isn't in my loud or long. My faith is in his faithfulness, right? So we fix our eyes on his faithfulness in prayer. And I even do that in prayer most effectively when I know what his word says. So reading your Bible is a part of fixing your eyes on the unseen realm. And that's what every single one of these speakers, that's what every single one of them did in the hard, troubled times that they went through. That story Haley told us last night about her body racked with pain, but she lifted up her, you know what she did? The louder your chaos is, the louder your voice needs to be. Some of you need to be a little bit louder in your life because of what you're going through. Your praises need to be louder. When I take the word of God and I speak it, what I'm doing, we use the word confession, your faith confession, but that's so churchy. It's so charismatic or whatever. You know what simply you're doing is your language that's coming out of your earth mouth, it is agreeing with the realm that you can't see. That's simply what a faith confession is. What does God say about your body? You say that, right? So we're connecting then this earth life with our heavenly life. And that's what this whole thing is about, to remember. How do we do that? Another way we do that, I do this. It's in the little devotional insert in there. 90% of the time I do this before I read my Bible. I don't even open my Bible right away. I'll pause and I'll say, God, this is your word. And I think I wrote it on the insert in here. God, this is your word. And you have something that you want to say to me today. I want to be corrected. I'm open to your instruction. I thank you for giving me a spirit of wisdom and revelation because, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you through your word. And what that does is it fixes my eyes on Jesus, not the number of pages I've turned in my Bible today. Right? So we fix our eyes on him through prayer, through reading our Bible, even just simply talking to him. Did you hear a funny joke? Have you ever told God a funny joke you heard? I'm serious. Like, oh, God, I thought that was so funny. Did you hear that? Of course he heard it. Right? But simple conversations with him like that throughout your day. It reminds you that you're in this world, not of this world. It reminds you there's an unseen realm. There's some other just practical things like a Bible laying open. I don't put my Bibles up on shelves and keep them packed away. I leave it, and I even like to leave it open on my coffee table. It reminds me, oh yeah, that's right. He's talking to me in that word of God right there. So the last one, and this is the best one, the best days on earth. In Romans 12, the very last phrase, it says, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And you know, even though we listen to testimonies of women that went through really hard times, you know what? I remember something Pastor Haley said to me when I was with her last year in September. She said, you know, I just wouldn't trade anything in the world for the relationship with God and how I developed my relationship with him during this hard, hard time that I just went through. And you know what that was a result of? In the middle of problems, storms, tribulation, hard times, she fixed her eyes. And you know what she did? She experienced the best day on earth because even though her body was racked with pain, even though it was an awful situation, she could still have a good day. She could still have a glorious day. She could still have a day that she was in close communion with God. Amen? So let's look at this. Say this with me. I will always have a good day. Because I'm living aware of his presence. So listen to this. When believers lay hands on the sick and see them recover, best day. Blind eyes are open, the lame walk, the deaf hear, best day. The gifts of the Spirit in operation through us, best day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Best day. Amen. So living with an awareness of the presence of God in your life, that is how you're going to experience the best days. And even though Jesus promised us there'll be tribulation, you're going to experience the best days coming ahead than you have ever experienced yet. Don't look at the future as like, oh, this is so hard. This is so, why did I have to be born now? You were born. You were created for this. Rise up and you're empowered to do so. Amen? So I saved the best for last here. I want to invite you. There is an empowerment that comes from on high. I gave you several different ways, like natural things that you can look at, you know, hand lotion. I know that might be silly, but it triggers something in me, right? I want these hands, I want them to be like smooth and clean and soft when I lay them on the sick, right? All right. I talked about some natural things, but we don't have to work so hard all in our own strength. There is someone When Jesus left, he said, it's better for you that I go. Can you imagine that? I can't. I can't imagine being one of the disciples and Jesus that I had just gotten to know, just trusting, just watching all his miracles. I'm in awe about who he is and what he's doing. And he says, oh, by the way, it's better for you that I go. Would you trust him? But you know what he did? He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit that would be God's representative on earth. But he didn't put him in a body like he did Jesus. He put him in you. We are walking around with the very power of God. Psalm 46, she mentioned it. In the Passion Translation, it says that there is a river flowing straight from the throne of God into his holy dwelling places. That's you and that's me. So all of this, we're not doing this in our own strength. We're not trying to remember in our own strength. The teacher lives on the inside of us. The one who brings all things to our remembrance, he lives on the inside of us. And if you're born again, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He's empowering you. But you know what? There's more than that. So I don't know if you're here today and you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This invitation is for you. All right? So would you be bold? And if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, just stand up. I'm not going to have you come forward right now. We're going to pray all together. And those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to help you. So if you want this, so it's like when you got born again, it's the Spirit within. And that's kind of for you. It's to help you grow. It's to empower you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? It's those nice things for you that change you into the likeness and the image of God. But you need more than that. You need the empowerment from on high that the early believers got in Acts chapter 2. You need that. We need that right now today. Amen? So if that's you, just go ahead and stand up. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, go ahead and stand up now. We're going to help you. You're not going to do this alone. Who's going to be the first one to stand up? Just be bold. There we go. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Go ahead, stand up. This is it. You know what? We don't have time to like mess around and say, oh, I'm shy, I'm this. Okay? And you know what else? If you have been prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you've never spoken in tongues, I want you to stand up too. Are we all standing? All right. Hallelujah. So what I want to do now, this gift, it comes from God. The same way that you got born again, it was by faith, right? You asked for it, and you have an unshakable confidence that you're born again. Is that correct? You know for sure, Jesus is your Savior. No one can take it away from you. Right. So that's the same assurance that we're going to pray with now. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then I don't want you to speak in any language you know. I want you to simply start speaking in tongues. And those around you, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to begin to speak in tongues as well. All right. So those of you that are requesting, asking Him to fill you, go ahead and pray this prayer after me. Say, Father, there's another gift. Go ahead, everyone, just pray it with them. There's another gift, and I want it. I need to be empowered. I need that strength. I need the guide. I need the one that'll bring this to my remembrance. So I'm asking you today to fill me with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now you're going to hear words on the inside, and most of the time the devil's going to say, I know that's just you, but it's not. Jesus said it's from me. So those words, just go ahead and begin to speak them out. Horambrasheke disombrondeke, gorabrande iesoboso namasheke, kandambrindenge bobosu redege, gorambashine mesi, sutarabakorandambe, Go ahead, lift your voice. Let yourself hear it. Oh, Rabage, that is him. That's him. Go ahead, speak out those words. Ramba sonomozan kandrege, jobria sambajege, disa bozona mamashi dege, kro babasi dege, robranda kabrashi namaseke, o rabazege. You open your mouth. You say it out. He's not going to do it for you. He's not going to move your mouth. If you're feeling something or not feeling something, it's totally fine. Roma sandangre izobra na mamamashi dege, ko ribrashege, nimba sodogo rambazege, halrodobo sunemesheke. Hallelujah. Those of you that are standing, there's a care team that just wants to make sure you're doing okay, and if there's any other way, would you please just, can they come kind of this side? Yeah, just go ahead and come right down the front here. We just want to finish praying with you. Please just come down. Don't sit down. Please come and just be hungry. Get it all. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, come. Just get it all that he has for you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are empowered. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to remember that we're in this world, not of it. We're going to remember that there's an unseen realm that we can tap into and that we can live out of. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Haley, I think, or Terasai, I think we're good. Thank you. Hallelujah. So the care team's coming. They're just going to be with you in a second.